Welcome, everybody, back to another episode of the Puck and Pod. My name is Joe.
My name is Jeff.
I don't think that's your name. Jeff.
Brando.
And I'm Paul.
So Joe, Jeff, a.k.a. Brando, and Paul, this is the Puck and Pod, in case you were like, what are we watching right now?
Welcome.
Gentlemen, we're obviously in a giddy mood. It's hot weather outside right now.
Oh, man.
In the west coast of British Columbia, it feels like summer.
The streak is a little alive.
Oh, man.
And I think it's going to continue right through to at least Tuesday.
Yeah, beautiful weather. Yeah. You know, I have to get this out of the way before we get into anything. Tomorrow is my beautiful wife's birthday. Happy birthday, Faye. I love you. I hope tomorrow's great for you. It's going to be
con.
It's going to be fun for me. And yeah, she's catching up to me in age. I won't say her age out loud because she might get mad at me, but she's catching up to me, and it's...
She's not 60.
No, she's not 60. That's right. I can say that. But very exciting day for us. So
awesome. Anything planned?
No, we're going to have a great dinner with family, and we're going to go out tomorrow night, just her and I, and that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Sometimes that's all it takes.
You know, and then honestly, like, as we get older, I feel like the idea of kind of going out and celebrating, quote unquote, like we used to when we were young, it's not really a thing anymore, you know? Like... We're less likely to want to get out there and get drunk or, you know, any of that stuff. It's just we want to enjoy ourselves and have a kid-free night kind of thing, but that's about it.
I plan to have a pretty big shaker for my 40th.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's kind of just whatever. Let's do something fun.
Yeah.
That's all I ask.
Yeah.
Something fun, something enjoyable.
I think once you hit those, like, those specific landmark ages, like 40, 30, you know, those things, then, yeah, it's like, okay, go out and celebrate. But you know, once you get past that, it's like, okay.
That's like home asleep.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we'll be in bed by 11 or something like that. But no, we're definitely looking forward to just having some time away from the kids. So it's going to be fun.
Awesome.
Well, we got a lot of sports to talk about. Where should we start? I mean, we have been through, by the time this podcast airs, we'll have been through a couple of games now in round one of the Stanley Cup final. Edmonton and Florida, we have, as of today, as the day we record this, we've only been through one game, Edmonton winning in overtime. So
it was a gooder.
I'll fully admit, I never watched it. I was busy watching the Abbotsford Canucks win their game. So they're currently up 3-1 in their series in the conference finals of the Calder Cup playoffs against who the heck are they playing? Texas Stars. It's been a fun series. I mean, this series could go either way, but you know, with Abbotsford winning in overtime, they've taken a 3-1 stranglehold, quote unquote. And you know, you never know what could happen at this point. But with Edmonton and Florida, does it feel like it's kind of going the same way, where it's like anybody could take this series just after one game? I mean, I know this was one in overtime as well, right?
Yeah, it was one in overtime. It was kind of a back and forth game, really, because Florida looked pretty good at the beginning. Edmonton was playing a little bit behind right off the hop. Florida was implementing their physicality like they always do. Yeah. Edmonton wasn't seeming ready to match it right off the face-off. And in probably the first 5 to 7 minutes or so, they found their footing, of course, and it ended up making it they went up 1-0 on Florida. And then after that, they kind of just – it evened out a lot more, and then Edmonton ended up ultimately – there was a point in the second period where the shots were, I think, like – 13-2
Oh, wow.
For Edmonton. So they kind of really took over the game at that point. Obviously, there was a couple of lead changes back and forth. And then Edmonton, I would say, kind of put the hammer down in the third. And that's the period I found they were the most physical, was the third period. And guys like Evander Kane were stepping up. That not seeing Hyman on that top line is strange, though. It really is. I feel badly for that guy. He was great with the Leafs, and just the type of player that he is. He's a feel good story. I mean, he writes children's stories and publishes them. I don't know if you knew that or not, but
yep. I did. Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
He wrote a hockey book, right? He's written a couple now, I think. Yeah.
But just, he always seemed to be like just one of those like great ambassadors for hockey, or like he's going to be that at the end of his career, people are going to be acknowledging him as that type of player.
He might be a coach even. Just based on that.
He seems to got that IQ about him, and that professional, like he portrays himself professionally all the time. And it's just, it's weird not to see him. And I wish that he was, because he deserves to be there. They seem to be doing okay without him right now.
Yeah, it could be a coach, could be an analyst at the end of his career. Obviously, we see a lot of players like his style, kind of, you know, they have the confidence to do that kind of stuff. So might be an analyst after. I'd say he's better with the Oilers than he's been with the Leafs. Oh, obviously, yeah. The Leafs helped develop him, but he's coming to his own on the Oilers. So it's too bad they don't have him the series so far. It looks like they might not need him. But
towards the end of last series, too.
Yeah.
It kind of is like, thanks a lot, Zach. But
well, and the Oilers throughout the playoffs right now have been pretty dominant. The most they've lost in a series so far is 2 to the Kings of the very first two games.
I'll say surprisingly dominant too. Like yeah. It feels like it felt a lot, especially at the beginning where they were. You know, when they did lose to the Kings, we were saying on the pod that like maybe these guys aren't what we thought they were. And here they are just kind of
tearing through everybody. They tore through the West like Florida tore through the East.
Yeah.
There was moments of each of their series where they were untouchable.
They were on a collision course to face each other, mm-hmm. really. Like, mm-hmm. again, right? And like and rematch last year.
And all those pieces for Edmonton finally came together, right? Like, we know they did last year, too, when it was all said and done. They made it to the final, obviously, not making that ultimate goal. But it was kind of like they were underdogs that year, too. Yeah. Didn't Knobloch come in like a third of the way through the year? Didn't they fire Woodcroft?
Yeah.
Like
last year.
33% yep. of the way through the year?
Yeah.
Something like that. And then they came back and went to Stanley Cup final, right?
We all thought they were a tire fire, right?
Yeah. Like, and then, you know, we thought your first round matchup against LA that was really going to be that defensive system they play is so tough. And a lot of the Oilers' play is kind of forced with speed and forecheck. And, you know, we didn't think it was going to work. And look what they did. They rolled over them.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely confuses me a lot. And I think, you know, when I think about it this year, you know, last year, I'll fully admit I wasn't confident that they were going to win the cup and they didn't win the cup. But this year, I am having to kind of look myself in the mirror and say, they might be the team to bring the cup back to Canada this year. And I have to accept that, right? As a fan of another Canadian team, we always wanted our team to be the one that brought the cup back to Canada. And I'm sure you guys feel that way about the Leafs. But I think we all have to kind of realize that there's a really good chance the Oilers are going to win the cup this year. And we're going to have to live with the consequences of that. And I mean that in the utmost respect to people like Mike and, you know, good fans who are, they're not, you know, those guys who are going to just shove it down your throat and rub it in your face. I actually more blame the media than I do the fans per se, you know, with this whole Canada's team thing, right? That they try to like put out there and shove down your throat. It just feels to me like, that's something we're going to have to watch over and over and over again. Yeah. I will say, though, I'm glad that I'm going to be distracted by other things like CFL football, the PWHL now, you know, and then, of course, the junior hockey when that comes up, too. So I'm not going to have to sit there and suffer that much, so to speak. But, yeah, it's going to be tough, I think, for the first little while to deal with.
Talk about PWHL. Obviously, they got Darnell Nurse on the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah.
Is it Vancouver picked up Sarah Nurse?
Sarah Nurse, yeah.
Signing her to a contract.
Yes, it's actually really exciting. They've got their first five players that they were allowed to sign before the expansion draft. So what it does is it allows the other teams to protect other players, like an extra player, basically a fourth player. And so they picked up, Sarah Nurse. They've got two really good defensive players that they've signed in Claire Thompson. And I think it's Jakes is the last name. And I forgot what her first name is. Sophie Jakes and Claire Thompson, two defensive players, two really good defensive players. So they've got like elite defensive players. Sarah Nurse is an elite forward. They actually picked up another forward and I've forgotten what her name was today. They announced it today. And a really good goalie as well from Ottawa. So, and they're all Canadian players, mm-hmm. which I love. Yeah. I love that. It's like I saw somebody on Twitter say something along the lines of, it's basically a mini Team Canada with all these great players, right? So that's exciting. You know that the team's going to be good right off the bat, which is something to look forward to. I'm really looking forward to the expansion draft to see kind of what happens there too.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Hillary Knight was also signed by
Seattle, so and that was a big one. Hillary Knight was the big kind of one we were talking about last time, and then also the player I was trying to remember before when we were talking about some of the best players in the league. Kendall Coyne Schofield is the one I was thinking of. She's on Minnesota, who just won the Walter Cup.
Okay,
wow. She's their elite player. They protected her though, so she wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So, pretty exciting stuff. I'm really intrigued at the process, but I'm also excited as somebody who's interested in the league and the way the team will be presented. I think it's going to be exciting to see a good Vancouver team right away.
Yeah, it's makes for entertaining sports when they're competitive, right? Like I understand the concept of tanking when it comes to the NBA, MLB. NHL, but when you're just starting in a league, you want people to come to your games. If you're going to be just a crap team, you're not going to make any money. You're likely to fold, like some of the old NHL franchises did when they were first being expanded into the league.
I just love the fact that they're allowed to be a good team. When Vancouver Grizzlies came around, they weren't allowed to be a good team right away, and that's ultimately why they failed, right? It was the way that the league was set up, in that Vancouver and Toronto weren't allowed to be good right away. They weren't allowed to have first overall draft picks, even though they were bad, So it was really frustrating to see them sort of be held back from becoming a good team.
Yeah.
You can look at the Golden Knights as kind of where that really started to change. Like obviously you had Minnesota, Columbus, Atlanta, all those teams coming to the league. It wasn't as high a purchase cost to get into the league. And there's lesser selections. Like you were looking at bottom six forwards that you could pick in the expansion draft compared to when Vegas came in, it was at least top nine.
Yeah, and you might see similar deals being made with the PWHL, where they're being, offered trades for not picking certain players and stuff, right? Yeah. So it'll be kind of interesting to see how that plays out.
That's been kind of a cool talking point with expansion draft in the NHL, and you see those things happen closer to the time with the trades that I'll trade you this player if you don't, or this draft pick if you don't select them. Yeah, that's interesting.
Very, very cool. Actually, it's kind of exciting when you think about the potential for what you can get in return. But yeah, it's definitely something I'm looking forward to in terms of how that process plays out. And that expansion draft happens on Monday. So the day that this podcast is aired, we'll see that. We'll see how that plays out. So it'll be fun to see.
You guys want to touch? I'd like to go back to the Oilers and Panthers in a minute, but why don't we kind of round out? There's a few coaching things going on in the NHL. Why don't we start with the Canucks?
Yes.
They rounded out their staff today with Kevin Dean, Brett McLean, and Scott Young to the coaching staff, and then basically that made, I'm going to butcher this, but Svechkovsky.
Yes.
Gonchar and Crawford aren't going
to
come back.
Yeah, Yogi Svechkovsky, he actually left the team prior to these hirings anyway, because he was going to join Rick Tocchet in Philadelphia.
Oh,
so
okay.
He was actually Rick Tocchet's hire to come to Vancouver. He was, I believe he was in charge of the power play, I want to say, at least maybe the offense. But yeah, so he basically is joining Rick Tocchet in Philadelphia. And so the cool thing about these new hires, Brett McLean, Kevin Dean, and Scott Young, is they're all like new coaches. Like Kevin Dean's not new. He's been around. He was in Boston. But he's actually quite renowned for his defensive coaching, which is kind of interesting. I believe he'll be in charge of, along with Adam Foote, to kind of run the penalty kill and the defense, of course.
But yeah,
it's going to be really interesting to see what Brett McLean and Scott Young. I can't talk today. It's going to be interesting to see what they can do to kind of help the offense and get the power play going. The Sedins are still going to be involved with the team in whatever role they were with.
Yeah, development. Yeah.
I think they had a play in also some assistant coaching duties, possibly with getting them sort of power play ideas and stuff like that. I'm not really sure there, but they still, as far as I know, they still need to get somebody who is going to run the video coach duty, because the video coach is also gone as well. And I believe that was Dylan Crawford, I believe. So Yeah, and they're like we were talking just before we started recording, there's coaching hires all over the league now. Of course, we had all those vacancies, and I can't remember off the top of my head if they're all filled at this point, but we know Seattle's has been hired.
Yeah, right? Lane Lambert out of Toronto.
That's right.
Because Lane Lambert came from the Islanders. He was only with the Leafs for 1 year.
Yeah, he was the head coach with the Islanders, right?
He was the head coach, and then became
an assistant in Toronto. Now he's the head coach in Seattle. I don't know if he brought any assistants with him yet, or if they've just not announced it yet or anything. But and then also in
Muse,
yeah, Muse in where's that? Boston,
Pittsburgh.
Muse in Pittsburgh, and that's one we've never heard of before.
Yeah, can't say I've ever heard of him.
Yeah, it's interesting when you get those kind of, and I mean, like this goes along with Vancouver, and their assistant coach has never heard of two of the three anyway. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how things play out there.
So I just read that he was a former assistant with the Rangers.
Ah, there you go. Okay. And then also Boston hired their coach today, and that was, what's his name?
Marco Sturm.
Yeah, Marco Sturm.
Marco Sturm.
Marco Sturm actually played for Vancouver for one season.
Yeah, I remember reading that, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had played for... He got drafted by the Sharks, traded in the Joe Thornton trade.
That's right.
To Boston. I believe he did get traded to Los Angeles and then signed with Vancouver and finished off his career with the Panthers.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. He was decent. I liked him as a player. I thought he was... You know, he was older when he came to Vancouver, so he was kind of near the end of his career at that point, but... Yeah, I thought he played well. We'll see what kind of a coach he is. I know he's got experience coaching, so it's not like he's coming in as a brand new coach, period. But, I mean, you're never going to give a guy who's never coached before a job in the NHL. They've at least coached somewhere. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that works out.
He was always a good role player for where we played. Like, he was, I think, the centerpiece to the Thornton deal at the time. And I think he was, like, 24 at the time when they made the deal. Never a star player, but obviously... You don't tend to see stars nowadays like get into coaching and stuff like that. They more want the front office jobs.
With the exception of Adam Foote and maybe also Patrick Waugh as well.
Yeah, like I'm not saying that stars don't coach.
Yeah.
But you tend to see them more in office roles, and coaching tends to be more of the role players that you saw. Yeah. You know, growing up or even before you're even born.
I wonder, though, if a part of that is because a lot of times the star players, they're so self-absorbed throughout their career. And I mean that, like, you know, obviously in an honest way, but like they're so self-absorbed, focused on themselves, that they don't understand the idea of how to kind of impart that wisdom on other people. So I wonder if that's why they struggle so much to coach. I mean, Wayne Gretzky tried coaching, right? And it didn't work out for him, right?
it's not just the self-absorption. It's, I think, the role players, they see the they see the whole game, right? They do a little bit of everything. How many star players in the NHL, well, I mean, it's a rhetorical question, really, but how many star players in the NHL are two-way? Like, off the top of my head, if I think of maybe the top 10 players, what is it, there two of them?
Yeah.
Two out of the top 10 best players in the NHL right now are
I would argue,
of a two-way player.
I can think of at least three. Maybe four.
A couple that are playing in the final right now. Barkov, yeah, for sure.
Well, yeah, you know, and Barkov would have been the top of my list.
I would include McDavid in there, too. I know... I would. I think he's...
Sorry, guys.
I would. I think he's more... I think he is obviously more offensive than he is defensive, but I definitely see the ability there.
Yeah.
But for me, like, when I think of the top two ways, I think of people like Barkov. I think of Nate McKinnon, you know. I also think Sidney Crosby, like, those type of players. And, of course, like, and also, like, you know, Matthews is a good two-way player, too.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm an idiot. Sorry.
No. I think really what it comes down to, and it's a fair question, because I think ultimately how do you define two-way, really, right?
Yeah.
Like, how do you define who's a good two-way player? Yeah. I just think that if you're going to look at a player and you're going to say, well, he's not good enough defensively, well, then maybe you wouldn't consider him as a two-way player. But I really think, like, you know, and a lot of times, too, it's... They're not complemented well enough with the line mates that they have as two-way players. So, like, they don't have enough two-way players on their line with them to help them and complement them.
Yeah.
So I think that's definitely – because there's probably a lot of really good two-way players that you'd never think of.
100%.
Right? And then until you see them play on your team or something like that, and you're like, holy crap, I didn't realize that guy was so good defensively, you know? So.
But I think in a roundabout way, the role players see the game differently. Like yeah. I said, they see it as a whole rather than just kind of focused on either offense or
yeah.
you know, guys that are defensive minded in your fourth line role players, things like that, but yeah. kind of middle of your line of role players. And I was thinking like Rod Brind'Amour. I mean, was he really a star either?
Oh, he was a star. Yeah,
you think?
Yeah, he definitely was. Okay. Yeah, fair enough. He won a cup, right? So.
Yeah.
Him and like Niedermeyer. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Fair enough. But I think the and it's a good point. I think really what it comes down to is how good are you at communicating and sort of teaching the wisdom that you have to give.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times that's what's holding people back from being good coaches is being able to impart that wisdom. In a way where, you know, the players today understand. Because, of course, as we know, the players today, they need to know why instead of what. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
considering that Boston's an original six team, Sturm is their first European coach ever.
Oh, is that right? I find that surprising. Part of me wonders, though, too, is did Boston go this route because of the fact they're in a rebuilding phase? Like they're on sort of a downswing, and they're probably going to be bad for a few years, so they need a coach that's okay with that kind of thing, right?
I mean, he's pretty young still too. He's only 46.
Yeah.
And a lot of coaching
experience, so to speak. Right?
Only 4 years older than me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this guy could borderline probably still play in the NHL.
Yeah, probably could.
And so to your point, maybe that is part of the reason they want to bring in a younger coach to coach younger guys and develop with them.
Yeah,
you know, build the sort of the new Boston Bruins dynasty, so to speak, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Well, he started head coaching with Germany for the men's national team. So
that's right. Yeah, I'd seen him coach somewhere, and that's exactly where it was.
You know, talk about Germany. How about Leon Draisaitl getting the game winner?
That guy's good.
He
looks like a jerk all the time, but he's so good.
He's so good. But what I find hilarious about teams that play against them is he always scores from the same spot. So it's like, do people not realize this when they're on the ice? Like
Ovechkin's
that's Ovechkin too.
It's like that time I watched a goal and I want it was against Dallas when Perry had scored a goal. He was right in front of the net. He was being covered by Cody Ceci, and then Cody Ceci left his position to go after the puck instead of stay with Perry. And then Perry's wide open. The guy passes to Perry and he scores. And I'm like, this is an obvious play. Like I see that on my TV as it's happening live. I'm like, don't leave your man. Scores.
Yeah.
You know, like, duh. Like I don't play professional hockey, but I know this, right? And I'm seeing this, and it's just like, I mean, I'm sure like there's probably a million things going on in your mind while it's playing out, but like, I don't know, that seems like an obvious one to me.
You want to look at, obviously, because we see the Leafs fail kind of unfortunately year after year because of the playoffs. You know, Draisaitl is a playoff performer. 50 goals, 85 assists, 135 points in 91 playoff games. He's a gamer.
What's really interesting about Draisaitl is they were talking about it this year in the first round, how they were saying Draisaitl had never scored like a playoff overtime goal before, and like all these different stats that they were bringing out with Draisaitl that he'd never done. Yeah, it's like he's done all of it. He's done all of it.
He's got 27 points this playoffs. Like,
yeah, that's the cool thing about hockey in general, especially when you've got elite players. They hear these stats and they're like, just watch, and then they do it. You know, it's just like they can put, you know, and we've said this about McDavid and Draisaitl for years. They can put the team on their back and win the game for them. it's literally makes me sigh too, because I'm like, come on, guys, like. You know, how can this team win with just these two players? But I think the problem is we underestimate those two players and what they're capable of doing, you know? So I have come to terms with the fact that we'll probably see Edmonton lift the cup this year, and the cup will finally come back to Canada. Unfortunately, it's not for a team I support, but it is what it is, you know? I think we have to kind of live with that. I was really hoping Dallas was going to take it because I wanted to see the cup come to Victoria. But, you know, there is a guy on the Edmonton Oilers who will bring the cup back to his hometown, and that's Troy Stetcher, who's from Richmond, BC. So I guess I can go there and see the cup if I really want. But, yeah, it's and good on him because he's also a former Canuck, too. So it's kind of exciting for me.
Draisaitl's buddy there, McJesus, or as I, this is the first time I've heard this in the post game interview. Draisaitl called him Davo.
Davo?
I'd never heard that before. He referred to him by that about three times.
Weird.
Where would that come from?
I guess that's his nickname.
Davo?
Davo. McDavid? Davo?
Oh, Dave. Okay, yeah, yeah. I guess. Like, Dave?
Davo.
McDavid. Yeah, okay, Davo. That's cool.
I would have thought it was something dumb like Mickey D or something.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway. What happened to the days when players had cool nicknames? Do you remember Kevin BX's nickname in the NHL? Juice.
Juice.
Oh, his nickname was Juice. I
remember that.
Like, what happened to the days when they would come up with creative nicknames for players?
I don't know.
Yeah, I miss that.
Or Lions, right? The Legion of Doom.
Yeah,
line.
Yeah. You know, cool stuff like that. Players don't care anymore, you know?
No, they don't. Actually, I think there was an NHL game where you could actually rename the line to whatever line you wanted to call it. So,
oh, man.
But I found myself last night watching the game, and every time McDavid picked up the puck in his own zone, it was like reminded me of a slasher from the 90s. Like, could, as if someone's about to get stabbed and you just have to look
away. You can see it coming.
You just know it's going to happen, right? He makes something out of nothing every single time he's on there.
Every time.
And there's nobody even close.
Yeah.
There's nobody close in the NHL.
Yeah.
When he grabs, I mean, well, okay, maybe McKinnon.
Yeah. I was going to say McKinnon does.
I would say the same
thing. But below that, nobody's close.
I think, though, there is a level, and this is the first time I'm ever giving McDavid the edge when it comes to that comparison, because I've said in the past that I think McKinnon is a better player. However, there's a specific moment with McDavid that I'm starting to realize now where, and maybe this is because he's reaching a specific peak, but it just feels like he's turning on the jets, and there's a moment where he starts dangling the puck through certain players and you just realize it's happening at this point. Whereas you don't get that feeling with McKinnon. It's like you don't know until it's happened, you know? So it's almost like McDavid's that much better just because of that level. And it took really getting to this point, you know, for him being able to do what he's done to get the team to where they're at. And it's incredible. We're witnessing something pretty, pretty crazy right now. And I fully admit, you know, yes, I don't like the Edmonton Oilers, but I fully admit that McDavid is something special. And, you know, I think I'd be an idiot to sit here and say that he's nothing special, you know?
It looks like right now they're digging the in.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Exactly. That is a shout out to the documentary from last year. But, you know, it's definitely, it's been a really crazy playoffs in both the AHL and the NHL. We've still got more hockey to be played, and you just never know what's going to happen. I fully sit here and am prepared to say the Edmonton Oilers are Stanley Cup champions, but we cannot obviously sit here and say Florida is not going to lose this one.
Yeah. Well, Bennett again, two goals again, like unreal. He's in for a major payday this offseason.
What I find interesting about the games, though, is that the goals are still quiet goals, Paul.
Yeah.
Whereas you see all the other crap that he does, right? That's what takes front and center, because he's always getting in the mix of whether it be with the other team's goaltenders or players. And I mean, really, after the whistle stuff, he's not really that much of an initiator.
Yeah.
He kind of just skates the other way, and that's what makes people mad, right?
Yeah.
But his goals are kind of quiet. They're just, you know, right in front, digging in, chipping it by, deflecting pucks from the point. Like, that, they're going in at a rapid rate, and it's just like, eh.
I know.
Like, you don't even hear about them.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I think it's kind of fun that there's at least pestilence on both sides in this final. Like, obviously, pestilence. Corey Perry.
That's
and
a good word.
Pestilence, yes. Corey Perry, Evander Kane, obviously, are probably going to match up with Marchand and Bennett in regards to the pestilence. Perry, you know, still has some skill left him. He started the play that got McDavid the pass and
over to Draisaitl. You know, I often say how much I don't like Corey Perry. I think he's a dirty player. But there are moments where he actually shows a lot of skill.
Yeah. Very effective.
And I mean, he was obviously incredible on Anaheim when he was on Anaheim, right?
Won an MVP one year.
Yeah, he won a Stanley Cup with them. And you know, he was definitely an incredible player. When he became that kind of a-hole player that that did things like throw elbows when, you know, like, he got kicked out of a freaking stadium game, you know, out of a Winter Classic because he elbowed a guy. It's like, come on, man. You know, and it was like right away in the game, too.
And then whatever happened in Chicago, nobody will ever know.
Was he on Dallas during that game? I can't remember. I think it was Dallas, right?
It might have been Dallas, yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah.
And he gets kicked out of the game right away. It's just, for me, like, that was immediately when my respect for him went out the window. When you're just doing stupid crap like that, like, it's a Winter Classic. You know, it's like saying he flip the bird at everybody during a kids game. You know what I mean? Like that kind of mentality, like completely unnecessary. No,
that's something Andrew Ferentz would do. So
I never liked Andrew Ferentz either. So
fair enough.
There's a player in this series that probably should be a dynamic impact player who's been quiet all playoffs, and that's Matthew Tkachuk. He's been a ghost, really.
Yeah, for a bit of the playoffs so far, I'd say.
I think he's battling something. Yeah, I really do.
He probably came back too early from his injury and all that stuff. Like, he probably could have gone the rest of the year without playing.
Kind of reminds me of Brady in a lot of ways, really.
Yeah.
You know, when Toronto and Ottawa were going at it, it felt like Brady was nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, and I mean, they're gamers for sure.
Yeah.
And they're tough as nails. You can see that. But he's basically been ineffective. Mm-hmm. He hasn't done anything for Florida. So it's amazing without a player of that caliber basically performing at a high level, which is very familiar for us, Paul, is the rest of the team just doing it collectively.
Mm-hmm.
They're just doing it together, right? And so, I mean, yeah, Edmonton's up 1-0, but that game was close. And trust me, do not sleep. Like, the next game, Florida could come out and win 6-1.
And I hope Edmonton fans kind of keep themselves grounded with that
real
thought,
fans
because
will.
Like
real fans
you
will.
Know like you should really understand, like, yes, your team is great, don't get me wrong, but Florida is not a garbage team. You guys were in overtime with them, so
three straight cup finals.
Three straight cup finals. They won last year against Edmonton. There's a very good chance they can win again this year, but you know, it really does feel like this year it feels like it's probably going to Edmonton. And I say that on the cusp of like just really realizing that I have to accept that more than anything.
Well, my prediction from before the series started was that would mean Florida would have to win the next four games, because I said it was going to be Florida in five.
Yeah. So I mean, if we're going by that
bold prediction, but
yeah, if we're going by that standard, it's,
and I mean, hey, sorry to say, it's possible.
Yeah. And, you know, when we were having our group chat the other day, we were talking about what our predictions for the score was going to be yesterday. I think a few people had said something like 5-2, you know.
I got the number of goals right. I said
5-2. Yeah. I just knew that it was going to be a closer game. Like, I knew it was going to be a tight game. I said 3-2 and ended up being 4-3. Right?
Yes.
4-3.
Yep.
Ended up being 4-3, but, you know, it was a tight game. And I think that's the thing, is like you can't expect a team to just sit back, especially in the Stanley Cup final. I mean, you got to expect what McDavid said, dig in, right? They're digging in and they're going to do whatever it takes to win that cup.
But, you know, looking at team collective, you know, it's proof that you can win games team collectively. When you got a guy like Stuart Skinner, who was being considered one of the worst goaltenders ever in the playoffs, to now being able to make every save because he's got the team gathering around him, right?
Yeah, supporting him. Blocking shots, doing all the right things.
Yep.
It just baffles me sometimes watching that guy play. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. You know, while we're recording this podcast, we're also watching the Blue Jays game. So why don't we talk a little bit about the baseball season so far and what we're looking at with this Blue Jays team, because they have been up and down, have they not?
Not recently. They've won 8 of their last 10 games.
So they're up right now. What the heck is going on?
They just won 4 in a row against Philadelphia.
So they opened the season with a losing record for quite a few games, right?
I mean, they've been right around 500for most of the year. I'd say within 3 or 4 games.
Right.
Okay. I would say that's probably the lowest they've been.
So let's talk a little bit about what we're seeing with this Blue Jays team. Is it as a fan of baseball, as a fan of the Blue Jays, is this, looks like they won their game, by the way.
They did.
9-1 final against the Phillies. Are you guys happy with the way you're seeing this team kind of come out and win? I mean, you got to be happy with a victory like that, but like, are you happy with the progress you're seeing? I mean, obviously we were talking before we recorded, you were talking about Vladdy and the way he's kind of not hitting that well. Overall, what's your thoughts on the team?
To chime in, I guess I'll say that they're kind of been Jekyll and Hyde this year.
Definitely.
And what I mean by that is not necessarily like, I mean, a little bit. They've been a little streaky, but I mean more with like the game within the game, because they seem to come out and like they've been scoring recently. Mm-hmm. But up until this point, runners in scoring position has been a problem for years, it seems.
Yeah.
And it's just they can't seem to get that timely hit. And they will go 3 games set over the weekend and score a total of 3 runs. and then they'll get absolutely shellacked, and then they'll go into the next weekend series, and in three games, they'll score 30 runs. And you're just like, where? What's the difference? Mm-hmm. Like, you're still facing major league pitching. Like, out, every rotation is going to have probably four guys that are going to be able to beat you any time of the week. There might be only one spot on the pitching rotation that you're kind of like, oh, I can't wait to get to that guy.
Yeah.
Right? But realistically, the team's been underwhelming,
yeah.
But they're turning it on now. So maybe it was just a slow start, right? We know the season is really long. So maybe it was just a slow start, and this is kind of what they're doing, right?
Yeah, like it's been actually their mid to bottom of the lineup that's been more of the surprise than anything else. They're actually they're
getting, like, a good surprise, you mean?
Good surprise, yeah. Like, in regards, they're getting timely hits. It's actually the pitching staff that's been kind of a bit of the Achilles heel so far this season. Chris Bassett's been pretty consistent, but kind of everyone else has been kind of on and off. At least with Gausman, he's kind of always consistent, but he seems to give up a home run or two every game, so it's depends if you have players on or runners on base and whether Jays can catch up. But yeah, the bottom half of their lineup, their role players are getting timely hits. Bichette's been hot lately. Vladdy is needing to live up to $500 million, but
I mean, I would love that problem. Yeah. I would love that problem.
But again, like, the fact that if the top of the lineup's not hitting, the rest of the guys are. And guys like Alejandro Kirk, who just got an extension as well, he's kind of starting to earn his money. You know, he had a walk-off hit the other night that got them the game. And he's hitting close to 300 right now. So he's
over 300. Yeah. I think he was hitting 302 at his last at-bat. Yeah.
I think 396 actually over the last like 15 games. That's or something pretty like crazy, that. Yeah. So he's always been like a decent hitter, but I guess for him it might have been a confidence thing last year. So I know I mentioned at some point in our chat that he looked a little slimmer. I think he does look a little slimmer this year, which I think is when you have good athleticism in a sport, you can usually actually dominate pretty good as long as you've got the skill to go with it.
Makes sense, right? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know I've said in the past I'm not a baseball fan, but I'm interested in baseball. I mean, I can go to a game live and watch it and enjoy myself, and you know, I understand the game and all that kind of stuff. My son and I just went to we have a team here in Nanaimo. For those of you watching or listening, don't know, we have a team here in Nanaimo called the Nanaimo Night Owls, and they are a West Coast League team. We went to the home opener on the 30th of May, and my son and I, and we had a great time watching them. They ended up losing the game, unfortunately, but played well. And you know, they ended up losing really in the seventh inning. It was the top of the seventh, gave up four runs, unfortunately, and that just killed them.
Yeah.
But you know, it happens in baseball, as you know. You know, you can't always get the starts or get the hits that you want and stuff like that. But it was exciting. They've had a bit of an up and down couple of games, but they did win a couple back-to-back games. So, you know, it is what it is, and it's early. They got a few more games to go yet for the end of the season. So, but it's good. It's good. And you know, I think, like you said, you know, before, there's like 160 games or
162
something? 162 in the games in the season. That's,
and they've a lot only of games played to play. 62.
They've already played 62 games.
Yeah, so they still have 100 games left.
Holy cow. Like, I feel like this season just started.
They play almost every day.
Yeah. Right?
Almost every day.
Almost every day.
So you got to think, okay, you know, with that, 162 games, they're probably going to lose some of those games. They're not going to win them all, but...
Well, they're going to have some decisions to make here with some of the guys that were injured. They're making their way back. Like, we got Max Scherzer is going to pitch a minor league game, which would be a rehab game for him. Possibility that he could be back next week. Varsho went down to a hamstring.
That looked nasty. He looked like he couldn't even walk off the field.
Yeah, yeah, did not look good, but luckily they're saying it's a grade one, which might be like a week-to-week thing. He could be back in the next 10 to 14 days kind of thing. Some of the role players that they have, they only have two extra spots right now before they get to their 40-man roster. Again, you got guys like Manoah that are rehabbing. You've got a bunch of players. Jimenez just came back.
Santander's still hurt.
Yep, they're going to have to make decisions on players to send down, and it's kind of tough when, you know, you're playing well.
If you get to a 40-man roster... And you still got players who are injured or whatever. If they become healthy again, you obviously have to send people down to replace them.
It works. It's similar.
Kind of like the NHL.
Or an assignment.
There's more to it.
Or an assignment if you don't have any more options.
Yeah, and it really is tough. And unfortunately, that's the nature of baseball because Miles Straw last year played 3 games in the MLB.
Yeah.
I mean, he was injured, but he was playing in the minors a lot because he was a gold glove center fielder, but he just couldn't translate it with the bat. Well, he's taking real advantage right now with Varsho hurt, and who knows how long it'll be. Maybe it'll be a week, but proving himself now, it makes it so tough, Joe, when it's time to make those decisions because this guy, unfortunately, deserves to be there. But there's just no spot, right?
Yeah.
And that's what makes it tough, especially when you get guys like Santander who are going to come back from injury and be in the lineup automatically just because his name's Anthony Santander. Because he's done jack all with the bat.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, for a guy that hit 40-something home runs last year.
46, I think.
46.
Wow.
Yeah, you're expecting a little bit more of him. Like, obviously, he was the star signing because we couldn't sign anybody else this past summer. But, he's got to step up. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in regards to when they get to the trade deadline. Like, obviously, with them playing well right now, they have a 33-29 record as of today. Vichette's a free agent at the end of the season. Do they trade him and acquire assets, or do they keep him and take a risk, right?
Yeah, that's too bad. Because he's a player you like too, right? Let's before we move on to our brand new segment that we're going to be working on. I just wanted to touch base on around the MLB, other teams in the league. Is there another team other than the Blue Jays, of course, that we might keep an eye on?
I mean, Yankees are the top of the AL East. So, and they're playing Cleveland right now, and they're up 4-0. So it's the Yankees are the team to beat right now in the AL East.
Yep. They've been good for a long time, right? Like the Yankees are kind of often the team to beat.
They're perennially.
They got lots of money to work with. That's the thing with them.
Bought their championships in the 90s.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of people say, and I wouldn't disagree.
I mean, hey, man, Houston can win a championship by just banging garbage cans, so.
or cheating.
Yeah. Oh, is that what that is? Oh.
Best team in the AL is Detroit. They went on a crazy streak.
Fun fact, I used to be a Detroit Tigers fan when I was a kid. Yeah. I was always looking for a team to cheer for, and I just liked the idea of cheering for a team from Detroit because I was a big Red Wings fan at the time. I liked Steve Yzerman, so I was like, Red Wings, Detroit, I'll cheer for a Detroit team. So I cheered for the Tigers. Never worked for me back then, but, you know, still a thing.
Just confirmed Detroit's actually, with their record, is the best team in baseball.
Ah.
And their record is 41-23 right now.
So even better than the Yankees.
Is surprising because you'd obviously expect the Dodgers and the Mets to be there. Mets are up there, the second best team, I believe, in the league, or close to. But the Dodgers with signing everybody that they sign, always, I would have expected them for sure to have the top
record. Well, and they won the...
They are top in their division.
They won the World Series, too, last year, right?
They did, yes.
Yeah.
What, on the other side of things, the poor Colorado Rockies, they've won 12 games.
Oh, out of 60-some-odd games.
I think I saw yesterday, it's either a record or close to a record for the worst record up until this point.
60-game start.
Wow. Yeah, worst 60-game start in the history of the MLB.
Jeez.
Major League Baseball's been around since 1839.
Yeah, like, that's not a record you want to have.
It's been around a long-ass time.
That's embarrassing, eh?
Yeah. Jeez.
Well, gentlemen, I think we should probably move on to our new subject. Brandon, you've created a game for us.
I mean, kind of fun. I don't have a name for it, but...
Okay, well, I have to come up with a name.
I do want to say something real quick. I think it's important, especially with the proximity of our podcast where we are. You work for the junior team, the Nanaimo Clippers, and they lost a very important community member the other day. Mr. Yes. Gary Dorland passed away. He was a long time volunteer, and not just for the Clippers. He volunteered just in the sports community in general.
Yep, that's right.
He's been around a very long time. He used to coordinate events, and he was just, you know, he used to help out the staff with the Clippers, and he's just been around a long time. I don't know exactly what happened, but it sounded like he had a really long health battle, unfortunately. Mm. He was always known as a bit of a grump, but he was the first guy to do anything that you needed, right?
The saying is that he wasn't a grump, but he acted grump. Like, it was comedy for him just to be sort of a grumpy, you know, he'd respond in grumpiness. However, you could always sense it was sarcasm a lot of the time when he
that little smirk
out
the side. Yeah, if you can see it behind his big bushy beard, you know.
It is something I'm going to miss a lot. And, you know, I did get to work with him a lot over the years. I've been with the team off and on since like 2015. Actually goes further than that, but you know, more heavy since 2015. And, you know, I worked with Gary a lot, and he'll be missed for sure.
I mean, I remember being back 12, 13 years old going, but Mike and I volunteering on top of the stairs, and he was a volunteer then, you know, and when I was doing the announcing and whatnot, every game he'd come up, ask if I wanted 50-50 tickets, and it just, yeah, he was a good guy, a hard worker, dedicated human being, and the community is going to miss him.
I was a shock when I heard that. It was a shock. Actually, Faye was on Facebook, and that's where she saw it. So I was like, whoa, what? I had no idea, you know, had no idea he was dealing with anything. You would never guess if you talked to the guy, you know? Yeah. And then you see people on the, you know, comments, people that work with him, and they're just like, I was just laughing with him like a couple of days ago. And, you know, and that just goes to show how precious life is, right?
So, very much. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the premise of the game that we're going to just kind of, it's not, I wouldn't even say it's a game, more of something just fun to do, but I've wrangled up, I think there's 15 or so of like old sports logos that they could sort of exist. Some of them sort of exist now, but it's like an alternate jersey, that sort of thing. Some of them are very similar to what the logo is now, but maybe different color schemes, things like that. Kind of the whole point to it was I thought it would be fun that I'll show you guys a logo and just kind of quickly think about the first player that comes to mind and maybe a reason as to why or if you remember a certain, like what it was about that player that stands out for you.
For our listening audience, those who aren't watching but listening, if you could sort of describe the logo or maybe say what the logo is, and then that way they know what we're looking at when we do that.
Well, what I could do is I was thinking about just flashing in front of my camera.
Yeah, okay. That's perfectly fine. Yep, that's perfectly
fine. All right.
But again, for our listening audience, if you can explain what logo it is that we're looking at, because they're not
watching. So should I do it before or after I show you guys?
I don't know. Maybe after.
Okay,
maybe
sure.
After. We'll say what player it is we think of, and then we can say...
Maybe it'll let them guess a little bit before they hear.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, okay. Well, I'll show the camera anyway. If they can see.
Yep.
And then I'll show you guys.
All right. I already know mine. Yeah. I already know who I think of.
Yeah, same boat. So are we going to say the name of the team as well? Or?
I mean, I can say it now. Yep. It's the Hartford Whalers.
Whalers.
Yep.
I think of Gordie Howe when it comes to the Whalers, but I also do think of Chris Pronger too.
Oh, good. Okay. Neither of those are what I was thinking of. I was thinking of Ray Ferraro.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ray Ferraro. I love it.
Yeah.
And I would say Brendan Shanahan.
Hey, nice. Okay.
So I was surprised that we all said somebody different.
Yeah.
Because I think that's going to be rare. I do.
Yeah. I'll fully admit, because I already knew what we were getting into coming into this game, that I'm going to do my best to try to be obscure with it. But you never know. I might not be able to think of somebody. And
yeah. I think the whole point is to have kind of an initial reaction because it triggers something, right?
Yeah.
I have a feeling I know what your answer is going to be for this, Paul, and I think it's going to be different than mine, but we'll see.
Okay.
So this one, I'll show the camera.
Okay, yeah.
Can I go first? So it's the Montreal Expos.
Montreal Expos.
I'm going to go with Jackie Robinson.
Okay.
Not who I was expecting. I'll go with Vladdy's dad.
Okay. Okay, so that would have been mine too. I thought you'd go Larry Walker.
I think
Colorado Rockies with Larry Walker.
Normally I do too.
Also think of Pedro Martinez.
Yes, that's very
but
true.
I could not tell you a player who played for Montreal except Jackie Robinson. That's the only player I know that played for Montreal.
I mean, that's kind of where Vladimir Guerrero Sr. got his start.
Yeah.
This one's going to be interesting. It might be an era thing. Okay. A couple of these might be that.
All right.
Way. Yeah. Okay, so we'll go back to the camera.
Nice.
I can think. I know one of
my favorite.
I love that logo.
One of my favorite all-time players.
I know you're probably going to pick him, but go ahead.
John Stockton.
Oh, phew.
I know you're thinking.
Karl Malone.
Yeah. Okay. And mine's John Stockton too. Yeah. But
I'm sweating thinking that you guys are going to pick Karl Malone.
When I used to watch basketball and really enjoyed it, I mean, even now when I do, I've always loved that that point guard type player, the one who kind of controls the play,
yeah.
the one that's not going to sit there and run up and necessarily slam it in and, yeah. you know, post up on a guy, but it's the slick passes, it's the 3-point shooting, it's the finesse, you know, that sort of thing.
He was a 3-point machine.
Oh, he was unreal. He was unreal.
Malone was pretty unreal machine. Too. Well, like, he was. Big guy. Big mm-hmm. guy. So just,
by the way, I don't think we mentioned it was the Utah Jazz.
That's right. Yeah.
I'll show the camera.
Okay.
All right.
Buffalo Sabres. So
this is the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah.
We are all thinking the same player. I'm sure of it.
I don't think we are. I don't think we are. Go ahead, Joe.
You want to go first? Dominic Hasek.
No, okay. Nice. I love it. I love it.
Michael right. Pekka.
Michael Pekka.
Wow, for me that's off the board, so to speak. But go ahead.
Wait till you hear mine. I think it might be an era thing.
Yeah.
Maxim Afenigenov.
Yeah. Jeez. Or you remember they did have Satan on the team too, so.
Yes.
Miroslav Satan.
Yeah. nice one. Okay, that was the Buffalo Sabres.
Okay.
Oh god. Okay. Nice. All right. There's only one that I know of.
It's the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah.
This
Cincinnati
is
Reds.
Very old school.
There's only one I know of, and that's Pete Rose.
Me too. Yeah, that's the one that I would have.
Joey Votto.
Okay.
This is the old logo, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
I'm sure they played with it.
Were we supposed to go by the era? Because I probably failed this a long time ago.
Oh, no. I think everybody's been good on what they've said so far based on the logos
based
that are shown.
Eras yeah.
Ken Griffey, then, I could also put in that category, too.
The senior?
Senior? Not with this logo.
Junior.
Did Junior
play
with the
Reds?
Logo.
He did play for the
later
Reds.
In his career.
I didn't know that.
Okay. Here's the big one.
Okay. Oh. I could pick a lot of players. This is Vancouver Canucks.
So what do they call this logo?
It's the flying skate.
The flying skate. Okay. Yeah. It's the orange and black one. That's the way I look at it.
Did you show your camera before?
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll do it
Vancouver
again.
Vancouver Canucks
beautiful
flying
logo,
skate logo.
By the way.
I absolutely love that logo.
I do too.
I wish they would stay with it.
Let me go first.
Yeah, you guys, I'll go last. Go ahead.
Pavel Bure for me. That's who I think. I don't know. That goal that where he kicks it back to his skate and puts it in, I don't know.
Jeff Courtnell for me. Nice. I loved Jeff Courtnell during that playoff run, too, that they made the final.
There's two players that I immediately thought of, and that's Trevor Linden and Cliff Ronning.
Yeah.
I'll go with Cliff Ronning specifically. Yeah. I mean, the cool thing about Cliff Ronning that most people don't think about is how good he was offensively, but he was a small guy. He was like 5'8", like small guy. And a lot of smaller players look up to guys like him.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The last year that I announced for the Clippers, we did an alumni game after Christmas.
Right on.
And it was the Clippers alumni versus the Vancouver Canucks alumni.
That's cool.
And Cliff Ronning came and played. I think it was like, I don't know how old he was, but he was untouchable on the ice.
Yeah.
What I thought was kind of cool as one of the other Vancouver Canucks alumni players, he wasn't actually an alumni player.
Yeah.
But Aaron Prichet played for
him. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
He's a decent little hockey player, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. All right.
Okay.
The old San Antonio Spurs. This is the one. This is the logo that has kind of the teal, pink, and orange in it.
Yeah. I'm officially stumped. I can't think of anybody.
Mine is still Tim Duncan, believe it or not, even though he kind of played with both. I think this logo ended in like 02 or something like that, but I still think of Tim Duncan.
Interesting.
I think of Tim Robinson.
Tim Robinson.
Yeah. I can't think of any players.
Or, Will Ferrell and, the Vassal movie that he did.
Tropical something. The Flint Tropics was the team.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Oh, that's right too.
And they were the farm team for the Spurs.
It's
Spurs.
It's like amateur ball, pro ball.
Yeah. I remember it being.
He said SMIC.
Yeah. I remember it being funny, but like not as funny as his normal movies, like the movies that came before it. But still good.
I think my answer to this one's going to be different than you guys for sure.
Okay.
And I'm curious what you think about it. Anyway, here's the logo.
Nice.
It's the original Toronto Raptors logo. Here, maybe I'll show the camera that way.
Oh, I hope I got his first name right, but go ahead.
I got to go with Vince. So,
Vince Carter.
He put the Raptors like right on the map and inspired a lot of youth in Canada. A lot of Canadian stars will attribute Vince Carter.
I had a feeling you were going to go with Vince Carter, so that's why I was immediately trying to think of somebody else. And I hope I have his first name right. Amari Stoudemire?
Damon
Stoudemire. Was there an Amari Stoudemire?
There was, yes.
Where did he play?
He actually played for the Raptors at one point.
There you go. So I was right.
I think he also played for Phoenix mostly, I think.
Okay.
And I think of Tracy McGrady.
Yeah, McGrady was good, too.
I think he was only with them for two seasons,
He was there before Carter was, right?
They played one season together.
Did they?
Yeah. And then,
because he was decent, too. I remember him being really good.
Yeah, and
then
McGrady got traded to Orlando, I believe, at that point.
Yeah, it was a sign and trade because he was an RFA at the time.
Go back to our roots.
Ooh. Nice.
All right.
To be clear, it's not the Arizona Coyotes.
This is the Phoenix Coyotes.
So I think a lot of people would think the main guy that's always been around, he's with the Leafs now, but I actually think of Jeremy Roenick when I think
of... Okay, good. I'll go with Shane Doan then.
That's the other.
Shane Doan's mine too. Yeah.
It's the only one I think of. I mean, there's probably other great players that played on that team early on, but they weren't a very good team for a really long time.
How many more do I have?
Two more.
Okay. All right. Here's the next one.
Ooh.
This is the old Washington Wizards.
Is that Washington Wizards?
Washington
Wizards.
Greatest basketball player ever, Michael Jordan.
That's who I think of too, man. It's like I never really watched Washington because I was always watching the Raptors, but you just knew that when Michael Jordan was there.
It's like you didn't even really know they existed until Jordan played for them.
Yeah,
I fully agree. I can't think of anybody other than Jordan playing for the team.
Okay, the next one's a Washington team too.
Okay.
The Capitals.
Washington Capitals. How would you describe that? I guess the eagle, the five stars. I really like this logo, actually.
Yeah, this brings me back to probably the greatest goal I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Alex Ovechkin.
Yeah.
You know, that goal, he's falling down and he scores behind his back and it goes in the net. It was incredible. I still watch replays of that. I'm like, I've never seen a goal better than that.
I actually think of very famous German goaltender, Olaf Kolzig, wore that jersey.
Yeah, Kolzig, that's right.
I think of two, and it's Kolzig and Gonchar.
Oh, yeah, Gonchar. By the way, the other coach that left Vancouver, Sergei Gonchar was one of the assistant coaches in Vancouver that is no longer with them.
I never liked Gonchar. I thought he was too weak. Mm-hmm. On the physicality. Great offensive guy, but he's Eric Karlsson now, basically.
Yeah.
I always thought that he was similar to the Leafs comparison would be Thomas Cobberley.
Yeah.
Kind of found the same thing. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
So I don't know. Audience, comment your favorite players as they come up.
I'd love to see comments about what people think of when they see those logos, because there's so many. Those are some great logos when you think about how awesome they were back then. They obviously, a lot of them have changed since then, but you know, to think of different players and stuff going back to those different eras, it's kind of fun. That's a fun game.
It was tough. I wanted that Washington Capitals logo in there, but it was between that and the original Columbus Blue Jackets one.
Oh.
I wasn't sure which one I wanted to do, but
that would have been a tough one. Really, we're not playing the game anymore, but when I think of the Columbus one, I can think of a couple guys, but
Rick Nash.
Yeah, really, that's pretty much it, right? But well, gentlemen, we're pretty much out of time here. It's a quick one. I felt like the show went by really fast, but we got through a lot of stuff there. So, you know, we've got so much that we can talk about when it comes down to all the different sports that are happening right now with football starting up in the CFL. You know, the Vancouver Whitecaps lost the game that they were trying to win to get the CONCACAF championship, unfortunately. But that Mexican team, holy cow, are they that much better? There's actually a little bit of speculation that there's food poisoning going around with the Vancouver Whitecaps in Mexico. So that's something anyway, but we can talk about that in a future show. Gentlemen, that's pretty much it for the episode. I hope you guys enjoyed yourselves. I know I did.
Absolutely.
Hopefully you guys enjoyed yourselves as well. If you guys do have any comments, please reach out to us in our social media, or you can also comment on the YouTube channel that we're available at too, at the Puck and Pod. We're on TikTok. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're everywhere. Basically, just look for at the Puck and Pod. And once again, for the Puck and Pod, my name is Joe.
My name is Brandon.
And I'm Paul.
We'll see you guys in the next one.